Welcome to the Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and friends. I'm your host, Paul Renfro, and with me are dear friends and mature people who are studying the scripture together about living as a spirit. We're using the scriptures in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. It's available at ParadigmLighthouse.com. That's link is in the show notes. You're welcome to get a copy, but you can just follow along. We'll have a whiteboard that has the excerpts and the Bible verses we'll be discussing. But it's the tagline that probably drew you to this presentation. Finally, a Bible explanation for what you are experiencing. Because all of us in this group are like you. We have been through this process of having that itch inside that nobody could scratch. But instead of giving up or just taking it as part of the norm, we each have pursued God and found that He could scratch that itch. When strange things keep happening in you and in your life circumstances, don't you feel deep down that there is something, some way, somehow, somebody in an unseen world that is active and maybe even determinative in this visible present world and maybe in your life? Well, you aren't crazy. That is happening to more and more people, and we know because it's happening to us as well. So we know for a fact that it is God agitating people to draw near to Him, and that's not an easy process. So we welcome you to join in. That's what we're discussing tonight. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down because your comments are welcome, and the show notes will tell you how to contact me directly. Now, my friends and I, thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to talk about these things with each other and to include you. We're taking one Bible passage at a time that's used in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And so first, I read the scripture, and then we read the short excerpt about that scripture from the book. And then our group discusses it together, and I'm sure you'll find that to be not only fascinating, but also relevant to your own questions. So let's get started. This is an excerpt from chapter 4 in the book under consideration, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And the topic is the continual fillings. The immaturity of the apostles and leaders, which, by the way, we discussed in a previous episode, even after they were filled by the Holy Spirit, may surprise you until you look around you. The ones you know personally still exhibit immaturity. Just look in the mirror. Filling of the Spirit does not make us perfect. And if there's a pretense that's the case, then it leads to hypocrisy. But three incidents in the New Testament show that the apostles expected that we are filled with the Holy Spirit continually, over and over, more and more. And it's not a once and done type of thing. And our choice, as we've discussed in the last episode, our choice is instrumental. Our desire, if we know there's more, like one of us said in a previous episode, and we want it. The first is Acts chapter 4. After their very first taste of persecution, the Christians all came together and they prayed together with resolute determination. And they stood on the word of God from Psalms 2. And next in Acts 4:31. Everybody who had been filled on Pentecost Day and everybody since then as well was filled again. Here's what it says. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Later, there was a second incident. The early church leaders selected deacons to relieve the teaching apostles of duties related to managing the body fellowship. So one qualification that they required for those who would be deacons was to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now that's Acts chapter 3, chapter 6. Now that's Acts chapter 6, verse 3. So the apostles recognized that although the Holy Spirit was indeed poured out on all flesh that had joined in and followed the Lord Jesus, not all had sought His filling equally or had matured with equal resolve. Think about it. The deacons were not men whose voice vibrated, whose hair stood on end because the Holy Spirit was heavier on them. They still walked on the ground and had normal body functions like everybody else, because the Holy Spirit is not a force like in the Star Wars ideology, where some people have more midichlorians than others. No, these deacons were men who were known to be full of the Spirit because they had sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, and whose spirits were recognized to be strong. And our third example is Paul's command to Christians in his Ephesians letter, chapter 5, verse 18. If the spirit of the Holy Spirit was a one-time thing, Paul would not command us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If it's something that only happens once, he wouldn't command us to do it. To be filled with the Spirit is something that we can choose, and we can choose repeatedly and continually. Because what did Paul say? Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but rather be filled with the Spirit. So there's this presupposition, listener and viewer, that as you embark on a life with Jesus Christ, that he is not stingy, and that his Holy Spirit is available to you more and more every day, all the time. What idiot wouldn't want that? An idiot who's been blinded by their own fleshly nature, like me, because it's a process, as we've discussed in many episodes. I'm sorry. So God the Rewarder is the next subheading. For clarity, there is no rank among spirits. Like our forebears and ancestors, we fight for the truth of salvation by faith, not by works. And we reject false doctrines of hierarchical merit. But these truths do not obscure the nature of God, that he is a rewarder. Our emphasis on salvation by faith makes it more rare to hear it taught that God rewards our efforts. But he is unchanged. Scripture repeatedly reveals his pleasure in rewarding. God desires to reward you, listener and viewer, and he has rewarded me. He desires to reward our spirits. And that's why Apostle Paul talked about prizes. God describes himself to Abraham the same way. I am your exceedingly great reward. That's Genesis 15. And the same truth is in 1 Samuel 26, Psalm 62, Jeremiah 17. You can see the verses on the whiteboard or get the book yourself. You read the Bible yourself. Look them up. But what does it say? The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. You, O Lord, reward everyone according to what they have done. And then the Lord himself says to Jeremiah in 17, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Well, and with that, let's see what Jerry has to say. Jerry, as we've gone over this and these scriptures, what do you think is most meaningful to you from these thoughts?
I fully believe that the Holy Spirit deals with different people in different ways.
That's true.
I don't know, and no way could I know how the Holy Spirit's dealing with others than just to observe them. But in my own situation, I feel like that he speaks to me through my conscience, and I feel burdened at times to do things or say things or to make commitments. And when I follow through with that burden, then the burden doesn't feel like it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think in the back of my mind, maybe this God will reward me for obeying this Holy Spirit's urging for this particular thing by answering a prayer that I've been really earnestly seeking something, whatever. And it turns out that the reward often comes in ways I didn't even imagine. It's totally different. It's after the fact, and it's all said and done, you see where you were rewarded by your obeying the burden that the Holy Spirit put on you to do certain things. So anyway, that's just my own personal viewpoint from my perspective and my personal relationship with the Lord.
I'm going to come back to you after we hear from some of the others, because I want you to elaborate a little bit. What are some of the rewards in the Lord's arsenal that he can use and has used with you? But you just meditate on that. Bill, tell us. Let's see what you think, because we're talking about being filled repeatedly with the Holy Spirit and in a way that we pursue and God rewards us. So what are your thoughts?
Paul, as we continue to study the word, we have all of God's promises. And we know that Satan comes to steal and destroy, and we are constantly having to argue our case against Satan. And come back to the word and continuously be refilled, as we've said, with the Holy Spirit, so that I can continue on in the belief and the promises that I already have. It's a constant battle.
Well, you said a great thing, Bill, because the promises you already have.
Right.
In a previous episode, you talked about standing on things that God had said to you in the past.
Right.
And the faith that you've exhibited, and that powered so many good things that have happened. And so when you stand on what God has already said, that is something that, don't you feel like that honors him when you do that?
It does, Paul. But again, we're flesh, and when we give in to the flesh,
yeah.
And there are days then that you doubt a promise, mm-hmm. whether it's promise that you doubt it, that you have to come back, you have to argue your case again and come mm-hmm. back into the fold, mm-hmm. into the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to come to the flesh.
It is. And Lundy, now you have professional degrees, and he's just talking about arguing your case. What strikes you about that? What do you think maybe would help for to understand about what Bill's saying?
I wanted to leave the field because it's just all accusations. And I understand the attorney was adversary, and it's what the attorney has to do. They have to then try to discredit testimony not favorable. I feel like we're trying to find fault with someone else, and you're trying to lick up just the worst stuff about him so you can destroy him. We're really doing Satan's work for him. And I didn't like that.
So when that adversarial system into the courts of heaven and into the opposition, we have an opponent. So if you can speak out of your legal expert experience, how does that translate? Bill was saying, how does that translate to the arguments we make in favor of what God has promised us, or the arguments we make against the accusations
okay.
that we suffer?
So I guess look at scripture, like your statute that's yeah. been, it's gone through the legislature, and that's what stands. That's not a good enough analogy, though, because then you have multiple interpretations of the statute. Let's hold on to his word. He is your advocate, and yeah, we can get really dismal if we start doubting it, but it seems like the currency of heaven is faith, and we have to remember his word, and we have to stand on it.
Oh, that is so profound. Lundy just said, the currency of heaven is faith. How did that strike you?
Actually, I was going off on it. Tangent when she was talking, it was a story in the Bible about Joshua as a high priest, and Satan was accusing him.
Yeah, and, Zechariah chapter 4.
Yeah, and he was all dirty, and God said, no, put clean clothes on him. No, give him clean turban, give him clean clothes. And I was thinking about that, because I know Satan does accuse us, which he has a right to, because try not to, but we do. And we can be accused, but God made us clean. So God says, put a clean clothes on us, clean turban on us. I'm not going to argue with God.
I will take it. I will take it. Barbara, how about you? What are your thoughts as we go along our conversation?
You've used this twice. I think in the last podcast, you closed with this statement, and then you mentioned again that we have a choice. And I think recognizing that we have a choice, are we going to act out of the flesh or the spirit? So the recognition of that, again, you've got to know the word, I think, to have that awareness. And so we have the fruit of the spirit. If we're born again, we have the fruit of the spirit. And I use that a lot because our 4-year-old granddaughter, who's here a lot, has some plates and bowls that with the fruit of the spirit on, which is all nine fruits or manifestations.
Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience.
And so patience is really a big one with her. Yeah. In fact, we talked about it this morning and the way she responded to me, and I can bring that up. And so I asked her on the way to school, I took her to school. I said, Josie, tell me about the fruit of the spirit. And she said, joy to the world.
This is the season for that. Listener, so, we're recording this during the Christmas season.
That's right. So just, again, knowing that you have that choice and that it's I don't want to say requirement, it's important. We have free will. So we have that choice to act out of the spirit and to respond in the spirit. Amen. And I think that's the maturing. I think that's a big part of maturing in the spirit, is to fulfill that requirement to act within the spirit and out of the spirit.
And then let's go ahead and set up Bill and Jerry. And I'm by asking you, Barbara, you've experienced the Lord's rewards, haven't you?
Yes, I think.
What are the ones that are most precious to you?
Oh, again, I think that brings me into fellowship with God, to know that, again, I don't want to make this about me and me doing the right thing, the religion part of it, but it just increases my fellowship, I think, with God.
Are you talking about a relationship with God where you hear him and he hears you and you communicate, an intimate relationship?
Yeah. To me, that's what fellowship is. Yeah.
And so
the intimacy of a relationship is being in fellowship with him. And, so,
and that's your, what I desire. That's your reward. Is that what you're
that's
saying?
That's my reward.
And folks, what listener, viewer, Barbara has just said something that all of us here will say on this, that the reward that you might think in terms, like Jerry said at the outset, you might think in terms of, I've been asking God for X, so I'm going to do this over here, and maybe he'll give me X. And in the book, Nobody Sees as You, How to Live as a Spirit, we talk about how the IOU system has an origin in the more unworthy side of things. And yet what happens is, as Jerry also said, he gives us rewards we can't expect. And there's this feeling of closeness. And Bill, take it away. What are your thoughts about God as a rewarder and the rewards that are meaningful to you?
Paul, they just go on and on. You get a reward and something you haven't asked for, and all of a sudden it's there. Huh. I'm trying to, Barbara and I were talking today, something happened today, and we thank the Lord for it, that it just happened. Naturally, Chip, what has happened there has been the biggest reward. When somebody says, we suggest you take him off of life support, and I'd had that prophecy, and it was so easy to say, no, he's going to be okay.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. But it's just a continuous thing. Just one blessed individual.
Hallelujah.
It's out of nowhere, they just appear.
They just appear.
Say, thank you, God. Thank
you, Jared. Listened it over to you. What are your thoughts?
I'm reminded of a couple of occasions that reinforce my belief that in my personal situation, the Holy Spirit speaks to me through my conscience and burdens me to do something or maybe undo something that I shouldn't have done or something like that. It just varies. But on one occasion, I was burdened to make a pledge. It was a substantial pledge.
You're talking about a pledge of money or a gift?
Mm-hmm. To the church parking lot. And it was more than we really could budget for at the time, but we made the pledge anyway. And within 2 weeks, I got a contract that paid for that thing four times over. So it was, I truly believe that. And it was, the contract came so from far left field. It was an area I had no idea that this was going on at this particular company. And its location was overseas, and they needed somebody to come in and do some assessment of their business. And it was like, where'd that come from?
You know? Oh, now we know it came from the unseen realm, namely the heart of God honoring you.
And The other thing is sometimes you'll say things or you may act a certain way and you realize later that you may have hurt someone's feelings and just feel burdened to go and apologize and ask for forgiveness. And sometimes that's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But then when you do it, it feels, and it's not immediate in my situation. It may be the next day or the next week where I'll be possibly spiraling into a depressive mode and mood, and it just all of a sudden snap out of it. So it's, you get help when you don't even know that it's coming, but you, the Lord knows you need it. Yeah. So you get it when he knows you need it. And it's, so the rewards, as far as I'm concerned, are not linear in exchange. They're usually close enough that I realize, yeah, okay, I was obedient. So I think that's why this happened for me.
I tell you, Lisa, I just feel like you're about to bust. I'm going to unmute you and tell us, because you're, I just feel like you're about to blow out of your seat. What's going on inside of you as you listen to these things?
Because Jerry was saying, my husband is also, he owns his own business and things like that. You made a pledge to something and he was out of the comfort zone. It was a good cause and he did it. And then my same thing, my husband gets some kind of contract. Like, it's just crazy stuff that, okay, that's good. that paid for that. I know God loves a cheerful giver, and I guess he makes a way for you. You go out on a limb and he says, okay, cool. And I'll help you out there. And, but also some, but Bill and Barbara there with their son, there's been times that things look really bleak and out of, I don't know, I just would get a sense of peace and calm in my spirit. Like, God's here. God's got this.
Oh, it looks like Lisa's signal has gotten garbled somehow. But you could see, viewer, where she was heading with that. And so I want to end this little episode with my own testimony. On September 9th of 2011, I had a dream and I woke up at 3:30 and I said, Lord, what's that about? At the time, I was living in the Memphis, Tennessee area. And he said, I want you in Santa Rosa Beach tomorrow morning. And so I went in and woke up my wife and I said, Diane, the Lord's given me some difficult leadership. And she listened to me. And then she said, did he say us or did he say you? And through the next year, we obeyed him. The answer was me. So I went. And then within a week, she said, this is definitely the Lord. And we obeyed him and we left everything, as my friends on the call know. And we left everything. And I want to tell you, listener, that's uncommon. You shouldn't expect that's the ordinary course of affairs. However, we are living in uncommon times. The most important thing to remember is that when you give yourself to the Lord Jesus, he's the Lord. And then he will help you obey. He will help you and he will reward you when you do. There's really no way to lose. There's really no way to lose. And so I want to end with that encouragement, because I would tell you that, like it says in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy follow you. And so you have to be out front of goodness and mercy, but they always follow. That's Psalm 23. And I just developed this way of saying it. Obedience is its own reward. And thank you for joining us.
We'll continue our discussion in the next episode of The Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and his friends. In the show notes are the links mentioned, as well as the whiteboard we used and the scriptures that we discussed. Now, you already know that our podcast and Bible discussion benefits from your thumbs up or thumbs down, right? So thanks for doing that, and we'll enjoy your participation. If you have questions or interest, you can use the contact form at paradigmlighthouse.com to reach out to us.